So to help me make sense of all this, Linda Wooster and I are going to have a little conversation and some singing. She'll do the singing. But first, just a couple of thoughts. So Linda, what do you hear in this story?
Well, I hear that the Holy Spirit comes to us all, and that's what changes everything, that we are the Spirit. We're all joined. We're all one as a result of that Holy Spirit coming to us. And I love this quote from Howard Thurman, and what makes you come alive, and that is the Holy Spirit to me. And I'm reminded of a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in bed and I was thinking about what Eckhart Tolle, who's one of my great teachers, said, to just become aware that you are aware. Become aware that you are consciousness itself. Just simply that. And I started just sitting in that. Just becoming aware that it's a miracle to be conscious. Just to simply be conscious, and how often I go about my life and I forget about, get up to all the details and I forget about that. It's a miracle just to have awareness, and that Joel and I are both astronomy buffs, and one of the things that I was thinking about is that it took 13 billion years for the universe to put all of this together, so that we're here today. We have these forms. It all came from the stars. It all came from. Is it out there? No, it's all one thing, as far as I can tell. And when I sit in that consciousness, just simply that consciousness, then I'm connected with all of it. And what a miracle it is that 13 billion years of the universe create us having this conversation.
It is amazing. And your music, and music like people like Leonard Cohen singing Hallelujah, and some, but there's certain kinds of music that for me just open a space. And so often in life, we're all conscious. I mean, we're all awake. Nobody's sleeping here at the moment, I think. But how often are we not really conscious? Then we're kind of sleepwalking through the day. Like just coming here this morning. We get up in the morning and we get dressed, maybe take a shower, brush our teeth, eat our breakfast, get here. And it's just sort of, it's what we always do. And we just kind of go along and we just kind of skate or go along the surface of life. Or, otherwise, maybe we woke up and we were obsessing about something and worrying about, aches and pains. What does this mean? What's happening to my body? What about my children or grandchildren? What about this crazy world? I'm in church all of a sudden. How did this happen? Who drove me here? So we kind of sleepwalk through life. And we're not even aware that we're conscious. And then when I sit and listen to one of Linda's songs, it kind of drops me into this other place where the world opens, and it's like, who am I? Where am I? And that vision of 13 billion years, which would imply that it's a rather immense miracle that any of us is here at all. And if we just caught even a little dropper full of that, what would that do to our day? What would that do to our life? The mustard seed, right.
And so to me, when I had that moment, I felt that if I could just continue having that awareness, then everything that happens is a miracle. It's all interesting. It's all, it's just
and it's inherently empowering. And I think whatever Luke and John are trying to say about the early church, something happened to those early disciples where they stopped just listening to Jesus and being puzzled and confused and having, you know, bread shows up from nowhere and he rises from the dead. That's interesting, you know. All these sort of external things that happen, something shifted, so it got inside of them. That energy, that spirit, that grace. And they use images like violent wind, like a tornado comes into them, or being hit by lightning, this fire that comes, or this breath that blows. And what are they trying to say, do you think?
What are they trying to say
in those stories about us? Because it's not, again, it's not, we're not just, the disciples are looking at Jesus and sort of admiring him and saying, well, isn't that cool? And all of a sudden then, oh, this is about us. And then we read these stories that, well, isn't that cool? That happened to them. That's really, what a great thing. And then all of a sudden, if the story shifts, it's like, what's that say about me or us?
The point to me is that, and this is what makes such a difference about Jesus to me, is that he endured all of this and showed us that death is an illusion. And then made us aware that we are a part of it. We're all part. It's not like there's little separate things. I mean, we see ourselves as separate beings, but in truth, we're all part of the fabric of the whole universe. Mm. Mm. Because he gave us that spirit, he made us aware of that spirit. Mm.
And can we be aware of that fabric here? And maybe one way is through a song.
This is a new song, so I'm just trying it out on you. Hope that's okay.
Just being here with you.
Thank you, Linda. Mm-hmm. So things that really just caught me in that song were the everything's a miracle and being happy. And happy can be seen as something rather shallow and superficial, but the way you're saying it, happy is dropping down into something deep and holy for no particular reason. But there is a particular reason, because it's this energy, you can call it the energy of the universe, energy of God's love, the energy of the Spirit, the energy of the risen Christ. And I want to just share a brief story from yesterday at the garden party. This young woman, young in my perspective, she's probably in her mid-40s, but because she's been working somewhere at this church in Dorchester for 20 years. That surprised me, but her name was Andrea, and she told this Pentecostal story, basically. She grew up in Atlanta in a Baptist home and did, as she said, all the Baptist-y things a little girl growing up in such a home would do, and except a little bit more, because her grandmother every weekend would go visit for the church, shut-ins and others, and also help with pantry. And so she grew up learning that what you do as a grandchild is you go with your grandmother and take care of people. And when she got to be, I think college, she went on a mission trip with her Baptist church, because that's what you're supposed to do, and found herself in inner city Detroit for a summer doing Bible camp and just doing her Baptist-y things. And then she said one afternoon, a little 10-year-old boy came up to her and said, "Why are you here?" And she said, "Well, I'm here because we're a Baptist church down in Atlanta, and we do summer camp in the summer, and we're bringing you Bible camp." And she got done with her little spiel, and then he said, "No, I mean, why really are you here? Because," and I don't quite quote it, but it was like, "because it doesn't make any sense. Because nobody cares about us. Our community is a mess, is destroyed." And as she'd said, people were killed and shot during the summer in that neighborhood, and she was exposed to things she'd never dreamed of. And this little boy was just going on and saying, "Nobody cares about us, everything's falling apart, and you're here as other people have come, and then you're here and then you go, and nothing ever changes. So why are you here?" And then for her, that was a moment that the world opened and she dropped down, because it got her to ask the question, "Why am I here in Detroit, in this Baptist church, in this world?" And what it led for her, it was one of those moments where this nice stuff all of a sudden entered her heart, and she went off to Harvard Divinity School and started working in a Catholic church in Dorchester, not too far from where I was a student minister in next community next door. And she just found out why she's here. And she does this faith-based community organizing in Dorchester, and then also helps groups like Bio and other groups around the region. And the thing that struck me is, this is hard, difficult work in a society that seems so, I mean, it is so individualistic and seems intent on pulling everything apart, sort of pulling all the stitches out, you know, and everybody's got to stand on their own. And if you don't stand, you sink, and that's just your own fault. And here she is trying to weave the world together. So a very hard task in inner city and wherever, rural, wherever. And yet she gave off this sense of being so happy. Not in a superficial way, but so content. She knows why she's here. And I think that energy goes back 13.7 billion years. She's alive. She's awake. And I thought, that is what Pentecost is all about. That's what happens to the disciples. So they're facing the Roman Empire. They've already murdered Jesus. They're going to murder the disciples sooner or later. It's like, that wouldn't make me too happy. And yet they go forth with this buoyancy and change the world from the inside. And we're here because of them. And who knows who will be here because of us if we become awake. If we hear that question that's from a 10-year-old boy or from the Holy Spirit, why are you here? And it doesn't have to be, then we're all going to go work in a church in Dorchester. No, this afternoon, when you're looking into the face of someone, do you see the face of Christ? Or do you just see the face you've always seen and on the surface? Or do you drop down and like, "Oh, who are you really? Who are you? Where am I?" And once you ask those questions, answers come. Which there must be a song that goes with that.
to me, the question keeps coming back to, who am I? And am I this body? Am I what I'm thinking or feeling? I don't think so. To me, I am that consciousness, as we all are. And that's what Jesus said to me. And I think that's what Jesus said to all of us, that we are actually that consciousness.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Linda, for your point of view. Mm-hmm. Many blessings.